It's Wednesday, February 3rd, 2010, and you're listening to episode 180 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 55 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
My name is Pat.
And this is Chris.
Fear the Con 3 still coming up. Have two quick announcements for that, and then we'll get into the meat of the show. First off, Mikey Mason has offered to do something. In addition to his live comedy show, he's going to split the time that he's running. You see, between most of the slots, we have a 30-minute break, so people have time to get food, do whatever. But he has requested that we shorten the break before and after his time slot to 15 minutes to give him an hour and a half, and he's going to split that. He's going to do a comedy show during part of it, and then he is going to do a trivia game show for the other part of it. He's working on the rules right now, but we've been talking about ways to have people get kicked out, bring new people in. There'll be a real chance for everyone to get involved in that, and we're working on prize support and everything for it. So definitely something else to look forward to on the Friday of Fear the Con 3. And once again, if you've not signed up for it, fearthecon.com, as always, we'll link it in the show notes. Also, for anyone that wants a Fear the Con t-shirt, we now have a whole section of our Cafe Press store.
A slew of Fear the Con 3 t-shirts.
Yeah, so if you want a t-shirt, I think there's also magnet stickers. There's a bunch of random stuff.
There's a maternity shirt in there.
Yes.
So if you're pregnant.
And gaming.
Mm-hmm. Although you should have made the image lower on that one so it actually like covers their belly and sticks out.
Instead of right and high and you only see the lower half of the image.
Right.
All right. Well, that's not my problem because I'm not pregnant. But if you're interested in picking one of those up, I will link that also off the show notes.
You know, I found out in the whole Mikey Mason game show thing that Pat will actually be playing the role of Vanna in that game.
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm all over it. I've got a dress picked out already.
And you still don't have to talk.
That's so true.
It's perfect. Very true.
Last episode, we talked about overcoming perfectionism. And a gentleman by the name of Greg linked something off the blog that I had never seen before. And this moved me to the point that I want to mention it now and direct people's attention to it. In fact, I'm going to link this off the show notes so hopefully as many people as possible can see this. If you struggle with any kind of analysis paralysis or perfectionism or whatever in your role-playing games, your creative efforts, whatever, you need to watch at least the first 2 or 3 minutes of this. What it is it's a video clip. I think it's about 6 minutes long of Ira Glass talking about the creative process. And the point that he brings up is he says there's a trap that everyone who's into creative things falls into, which is this. Let's say, just for example, you want to write a book. Well, if you want to write a book, you probably enjoy both reading and writing. You know something about books. You have some kind of taste. You have some kind of opinion. And what happens is you love it enough to want to do it. You get in there to do it, but you're familiar enough with the art form to realize that your early efforts suck. As I always say, I don't care what she told you, nobody's good at anything the first time. And so
I've never been told that.
you write something, you're discerning enough to realize it sucks because you don't have any experience.
I was told that, but she didn't lie.
I've never had the opportunity to be told that.
And rather than stick with it, at that point, most people give up before getting the experience to be good.
It still sounds like her problem to me.
You see how I was good there, and I'm the only one who didn't.
I know, as opposed to these.
Because I was interested in what you had to say.
I am very interested in what you're saying.
Yeah.
I interrupted the audience, and I was the only one who was funny.
Yeah. No, you weren't. But I was trying to help the audience and these three kids. But anyway,
Dan, lie to me next time.
Check out that video. He had some really good stuff to say. He had a perspective I had never considered before. And I want to thank Greg for linking that off the blog and bringing it to my attention.
Yeah, I saw the blog post about that, and I saw that you actually mentioned on the forums, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. And I have no idea who Ira Glass is. So
he's from This American Life.
No clue.
Okay.
Wow.
He is an American folklorist and storyteller and whatever. He did a lot of stuff with NPR. I don't know if he's still with NPR or not, but did a bunch of stuff with NPR. I don't know. Anyways, he had some great, even if you don't know who he is, he had a really interesting perspective. He put it in a way I had never thought about it before. There's something I noticed we were doing in our most recent role-playing game. I want to talk about briefly here before we get down to the main topic for today, which is health. And Chris has some questions, and I have some talking points. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about with Gamer Health. Before we get into that, I noticed there was something we were doing in our role-playing game that I wanted to throw out there because this might be useful to somebody else's game. When we did the episode a while back on merging role-playing with combat, one of the ideas that we mentioned that a lot of people were very complimentary of was our post-round summary, where at the end of a round, we would stop and in dramatic terms describe what had just transpired in that round to give it a sense of story beyond just, I move three squares and swing a sword. Well, I noticed in our role-playing game this past Sunday, there's a habit we have that I guess I'm just so used to, I didn't realize we've been doing it.
Which I never noticed it until you pointed it out.
We don't just do it in combat. We do it with all of our die rolls. For example, they had just come into a star system and were confronted by an alien race that wanted to search their ship and ask them some kind of tough questions. And Chad had mentioned earlier that to get some privacy, his character had locked himself in a cargo bay. And so he says, okay, I'm going to roll to see if I can undo my own security measures to get out of this cargo bay, because that's the only docking collar left on the ship these guys can come in through.
And you didn't ask me for a roll. I just wanted to roll it just to, you know, if I got something low, we could have had a little comedy moment. If I got something high, I just would have hand-waved it and moved on. But I didn't get a high roll, and I didn't even get a low roll.
Yeah, he rolled a massive, massive critical failure.
Yeah. Mathematically, I could not have rolled
lower. I'm talking, you step onto a staircase, your right foot's on a roller skate, your left foot's on a banana peel, and at the bottom is nails. I mean, that's the type of critical failure he rolled. And so we stopped, like, I didn't just say, you critically failed, you're still stuck in the cargo bay. Mm-hmm. We put a story explanation to it. I said, okay, you're working in this cargo bay, you really weren't expecting this. You're kind of frazzled because now Dave's character's yelling at your character to get out of the cargo bay. Here come these guys that are about to board the ship. You're doing something down there that's kind of illegal to begin with. And so your character is so frazzled right now that in the panic, you're fumbling all over yourself and actually just locked it down worse. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I kind of explained the roll. But Chad could have just as easily rolled the dice, critically failed, and said, you know what? It makes sense because my character is this and this and this. And what that does is it helps to keep this unbroken continuity to the game, where a die roll, whether it's a massive success, a massive failure, or anything in between, you help keep story to the randomness of the game. If he had critically succeeded, we could have just as easily said, holy crap, in the panic of the moment, I brought my A game because I need to get the hell out of this cargo bay before I get caught with my hand in the cookie jar.
Right.
Or in this case, I get caught with a military grade attack robot that I don't have the licenses for.
Shut up. Don't tell everybody.
The NPCs might listen to Fear the Boot.
No.
And Chad, I'm just so proud of you because you're really coming around and embracing the dice rolling even more and more.
They're just jealous because me, the non-combat guy, has racked up the most amount of kills in the game so far. Mm-hmm. That's just because I'm effective.
Well, you know, you're good with your dice. You're rolling those dice like a champion.
That's right. I practice my dice rolling motion a lot.
Out of all the clutter of dice next to me, it's making it so hard to role play sometimes. Roll.
Constant. Between Chad's constant dice rolling, his use of his skills.
Yeah. It's amazing.
There's no game left. It's ROLL playing. That's all it is anymore.
Well, and
you know what? All I'm going to do is I'm just going to take Temple of Elemental Evil and, like, scratch out monsters right in robot.
I hate you so much.
Scratch out cavern right in corridor.
Temple of Elemental Evil is my kryptonite, you frog-loving bastard. God, I hate you so much.
Because you are annoying the crap out of me with that stupid dwarf.
I never played a dwarf before. I never played a non-human before.
And you've never played one since. Guess what? Dan 1, Chad 0.
God, I hate you.
Alrighty, so let's get down to what this episode is supposed to be about, which is health.
Pickled pig's feet?
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not even going to talk about it. It's going to offend somebody who's going to take it out of context.
So, just
get it off the freaking table. It's disgusting.
Pat brought premium pickled semi-boneless pig's feet in gelatin.
Yes.
Is it gelatin?
Usually it is.
No, it's in vinegar pickle.
When you put food on the table and even I'm disgusted by it,
yeah,
I can't wait
to
try it.
Do you eat those cold or do you
cook? I have no idea. I've never... I'm going to find out.
I would
pop it open at the end of the...
No, you are not opening that. I would
at least find out if you're supposed to cook it first. I'd find out if you're supposed to eat those first. Well, the answer to that is actually no.
If it's pickled, the pickling process, like it,
step is let us get out of the building before you open it. That's step one.
I don't understand how something can be semi-boneless. Either it has bones or it doesn't.
It's like semi-pregnant.
Yeah.
Or semi-dead. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Pat, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open that, the jar, and just leave it sitting in your passenger seat for a few days and see what happens. So anyway, all right, on to health stuff. Let me start with the disclaimer I suppose we have to give, which is, first off, none of us are medical doctors. Chris does have some qualifications, which we will explain in a moment.
And Wayne's current character is a doctor.
Wayne's character is a doctor. He does play one in a role-playing
game. It's the second
game.
Time I played a doctor in a role-playing game. So.
My character is a vet. My character's a doctor,
yeah,
but
still
not
kind
a
of doctor.
Doctor.
All right.
My character's an engineer.
So none of us are medical doctors. Nothing we say on this show is meant to replace the advice of a real medical doctor. And if you are planning any major changes to your lifestyle, please consult with the appropriate professionals before doing so. I don't know that this disclaimer is even necessary, but I'm giving it just for sake of giving it.
And you know what? And it's worthwhile to give it because even with the certification, it's highly recommended when you fall into certain risk categories, you should always get physician's clearance before, you know, beginning exercise programs and things like that, just to be sure that everything's, you know, on the up and up and everything's cool. Right. Same thing with food and nutritional advice. You know, none of us here is a registered dietitian either. And, you know, seeking that kind of professional advice sometimes if you're going to be doing something really bizarre is always a good course of action.
So the stuff that we're going to talk about, Chris has some certifications in. The rest of us will be talking purely from...
out of our ass.
Basically. Yeah. a combination of experience and research, but once again, we're not medical professionals. Now, I want to stress that the reason we are doing this is because of the fact that as much as we want to dodge the stereotype, let's be honest, the overall physical health, quite frankly, of all of Western culture is declining, and the gaming community is probably on the cutting edge of that decline.
It's a race between us and video game players. Yeah, and we
seeing
overlap.
As most of us are both, I think we know what not to do pretty well.
And even for those of you that are not overweight, I'm not overweight. I'm 6'2", 170 pounds.
That's another reason why you're a bastard, besides the frogs.
Well, but here's the point.
Yeah, it really is.
But even though I'm skinny...
Yeah.
And I know there are other people listening to this show who are skinny who may say, wait a minute, I don't care about weight loss, but I still lead an extremely sedentary lifestyle.
And
I
honestly,
still
Dan,
do not have a very well-balanced diet.
I would not want to be as skinny as you are. You are in an extreme skinny to me. So
and he has to turn sideways in the rain to get wet.
You've also said that you've tried to gain weight. You know, good, not a beer gut.
Right.
But
yeah, which I have found ways of doing, but we'll... Point being that this is something that I think is important to the community, whether we want it to be or not. Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys will listen to this and pay attention. Now, Chris, there's a couple things we're going to go after. First of all, we solicited some questions for you, which, and I know you got several, and we're going to hit those. We'll hit those first. I have some talking points I'd like to go over after that. But before we get into that, just for the sake of explaining the one portion of this that is not coming totally out of our acid Wikipedia, what are your qualifications?
I am a certified personal trainer with the American Council on Exercise, and you can look up their qualifications. They're a very regulated organization. acefitness.org is the website. The coursework they teach and the recommendations they follow are based a lot upon things put forth by the American College of Sports Medicine, which is a very longstanding and prestigious organization. They also follow a lot of government-recommended things, particularly when it comes to the food guide pyramid. So they're not like some, hey, buddy, back alley, give me $50, here's your certification kind of situation. And I say that, but there are a lot of those out there.
You say that because you fell for that scam once before, huh?
After I blew $300 and got a piece of paper that looked like it had been peed on.
Best $300 I ever made.
But to get the certification, though, there is a definite amount of study. I mean, the course book itself is well over 500 pages covering a wide variety of topics, and the test that you have to take is rather extensive with the passing threshold to be fairly high.
So the basic punchline here is, while Chris is not a medical doctor, he's also not just some guy who goes to the gym every week and has an opinion. He really is.
Almost like the two women from Holy Grail who said they have a basic medical training. That's...
I just want to make clear, you are not the healthcare equivalent of the guy who says, I study game theory.
No.
So, all right. So, Chris, with that in mind, go ahead. Let's start working through the questions. Pick one at random or pick one you want to talk about first. Give us a question and let's talk about it.
Some of these, they gave permission. Some of these, they didn't. So I'm going to just say this question came from Mark. We'll just leave it at that. He said, can you suggest some tasty, healthy snacks that a gaming group could have while sitting around and role-playing for hours on end? I'm assuming the traditional pop/beer, pizza, and chips are not conducive for people that sit around all day.
What? Huh? Well, you know, honestly, great question. And it's a good place to start because, let's be honest, every gaming group out there, at least most of them, ours included, if you look at what's sitting on the table, we've been a little better the past couple weeks, but typically speaking, it's chips, it's soda, it's pizza. I mean, lately we've been a little better doing veggies and salmon.
Yeah. Well, I think absolutely. Like, with our personal group and our personal weight struggles, a larger percentage of the group is now trying to lose weight.
Yeah, it started with Chad and I, and we started bringing in a little bit better things, and then Pat's joined in, and it's kind of grown from there.
But even that's recent. I mean, for 20 years of gaming, it was Cheetos and Mountain Dew, just like every other gaming group out there. So, Chris, what would you recommend? We can tell you some of the things we found, but I'm curious. Let's start with you. What are your recommendations?
I don't want to go into this saying, you know, you absolutely have to give up this and you absolutely have to give up that. There are certain things that I believe fall into that category, but I'm not going to sit here and tell people to give up their Mountain Dew. What I might suggest you do in that particular case when it comes to beverages, if you're going to have a can of Mountain Dew, make your next beverage just a glass of water. And then you can alternate like that throughout the night. That way, you're at least cutting the amount of soda that you're going to consume in half, which is going to save you a tremendous amount, you know, over the course of an entire year. Although it tastes good, that stuff is, on the whole, extremely bad for you. It's just bad for you. Yeah, it tastes good, and we like to drink it, but don't try and get rid of it all right away. But alternate.
What's your feeling on, like, diet Mountain Dew and diet sodas?
I worry about that because people tend to use it as an excuse.
Yeah.
That I'm going to have the half rack of ribs and a Diet Coke.
And there is research that's come out recently that says that consuming Diet Pop does cause that to happen. It does make you feel that way. Oh, well, great. You know, I can have three Big Macs because I got a Diet Coke, so I'm good.
So the downside for me, Chris, is I've always drank diet sodas because that's what I grew up beyond drinking. So it was where my tastes were, not because it was diet. And what I've noticed is that I've drank it so much, there's not much else I drink, that when I started looking at calories, I got so stuck on calories that I would drink that instead of like fruit juices and things like that. And I've gotten to the point now where if I go a couple days without a soda, I get nasty caffeine headaches.
Yes, and that's part of the reason why I say that, because it can take a while to kind of break that quote-unquote addiction. But even in the case of diet sodas, I'd say the same thing. You know, you are 70% water, so why not give yourself some water in between there? And that can help ease you off of that. I used to drink Coke all the time at work, and I just slowly weaned myself away from that. And now it's to the point where I'll get a craving for a can of Coke. I'll get about 3 or 4 sips into it, and I'm pretty much done. I can't finish a full 12-ounce can of pop anymore.
Well, some other things we found that are relatively cheap and are good substitutes. Save the childish jokes, but unsalted nuts.
Yep.
Once again, anything taken in too high of a quantity. I mean, food contains calories. There are a couple negative calorie foods like celery, but there aren't many.
But celery is gross.
Yeah. Well, unless you dip it in something, which makes you're adding calories.
You know what? Celery and peanut butter.
If you're going to do veggies, do hummus along with it. Hummus is actually very tasty to dip it in, and it's good for you to begin with, and it is lower in fat than a lot of other traditional dips.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't hummus just garbanzo beans, right?
Basically, it's ground up chickpeas along with various flavors. Yeah. Yep, chickpeas and fiber. Yeah, the fiber. The old man jokes aside, fiber is honestly some of your best friends. It's going to be your best friend. You're going to feel so much better. But go ahead with your list, and then I'll do my list.
So unsalted nuts would be one I would start with. We also found that dried fruit's another one.
Yeah, that's one I've been bringing for a little while. And the one thing I do caution about that is watch what dried fruit you're grabbing. some of the dried fruit are coated in sugar.
Yeah. Well, yes. That's what, well, hold on. Let me finish that thought. What I was going to say.
And it's also made of sugar.
Is yeah. Don't grab it. Go out, get yourself a dehydrator. They're not that expensive. Go out, buy a bag of apples, get a little something to cut them up into slices, dehydrate them, make apple chips. Apple chips taste wonderfully. And if you make them yourself, all it is dehydrated apples. Yeah. They're not coated in anything. They're not dipped in anything. You're just eating dehydrated apples or whatever your fruit of choice is. I mean, what you can dehydrate any number of things, get excellent tasting food out of it.
And if you're not a fan of just eating raw fruit like that, there are some fairly decent dips that you can use. I did find one that was basically a pumpkin flavored dip that you can make with canned pumpkin that you would use in a pumpkin pie along with, I think it was cream cheese, which actually looked like it sounded pretty good. Pumpkin is very high in fiber, and when you add a little bit of extra flavoring to it, it tastes very good.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the problem that I had, not so much with the group now, because like we said, there's more of a majority of people trying to lose weight, and Dan is trying to not lose weight, but eat healthier, and well, we just outvote Dave. And Dave's another one of those skinny guys, bastard, can eat anything.
Yeah, he can't gain weight.
But what my problem was, at least when I first started gaming with the guys and trying to lose weight, was not what do I eat? What can I bring that I want to snack because I'm sitting there for 4, 5, 6 hours? And I'm going to want to snack on something. But my problem was the temptation. Nobody else in my group was trying to lose weight, except Wayne, was trying to lose weight.
And Sunday had to be my cheat day, too, because we get there, and here come a box of zingers.
Well, and that was the thing.
Well, as far as the temptation goes, Chad, what I would recommend for you to do is eat before you go game. So that's going to hold you at least for a couple of hours. And if you're going to give in to temptation, and you mentioned the zingers, then fine, have a zinger. But just have the one, and then wait like 10 or 15 minutes and see if you want the second one.
Here is the problem that I had, though. You're there for 6 hours.
And it's not a hunger thing.
Somebody walks in the door, and they lay down 2 bags of potato chips and puts them on the table in front of you and cracks open the cheese dip. And it's sitting there in front of you. You're like, okay, I'm going to be strong. But I'm staring at this food for 6 hours. And then somebody else brings in all this soda and puts all this soda in front of you. And they're being really nice. And then this guy, Pat, comes in. And this is what killed it for me. This is what absolutely killed it for me.
Chad's mad about this, and I'm mad he stopped.
Well, it is that I'm like trying to be not tempted. I'm trying not to be tempted. I'm trying not to be tempted. Sunday's my cheat day, and I'm only going to eat a little bit. And then what does this do? He brings in donuts, chips, and dips, and all this stuff. And then Pat comes in like, hey, guys, sorry I'm late. I've got a dozen donuts. Boom, puts them right in front of me. Opens it up, puts it in my face. He's being nice. He's actually not. You're not being a jerk because you didn't know. And really, that's where my issue came in. On one hand, it's in front of you and it's the temptation. But on the other hand, I am trying to lose weight and I'm trying to make this lifestyle choice, but I don't want to force that choice on other people. I don't want to look at all my friends who aren't trying to lose weight or don't have to lose weight. And I don't want to tell them, guys, all this food you're enjoying, now you have to eat hummus and apple chips and other stuff that you might not like because of me. And
which is a perfectly valid point, but let me throw in several thoughts here that have occurred to me that I think might be good foundational ideas for the entirety of this discussion. The first one related to that is, look, these are your friends. We've talked many times, if you're having a problem in your role-playing game, talk to these people. Mm. And I think in the same way, if you say to someone, look, no joke, this is not a game. For the sake of my health, I'm trying to improve what I eat because I don't want to die at 40.
There's heart disease in my family, and Dan and I's friend from high school, Jason Pelican, died.
At the age of 32.
32 years old. I'm 33.
You think this stuff doesn't happen?
He left 3 kids and a wife behind, and the dude smoked, and he ate fried food with every meal.
And didn't exercise. And he died at 32.
And he died of a heart attack.
Yes.
And that was a wake-up call. People have been telling me for years, Chad, you're overweight. Heart disease runs in your family. You got to get checked out. I went to his funeral, and I changed. In fact, Dan came up to me and he hugged me and he said, listen, I don't know the exact word to say, but basically like, hey, your health is none of my business. I don't want to tell you what to do, but go to a doctor, get yourself checked out. I don't want to lose you like we just lost Jason.
Yeah. And you know what? Do fear the boot a favor. Don't be the wake up call for your circle of friends. Okay. That's thought number one is turn your friends.
I have to say first before you go.
Okay.
it shocks me to think of Chad as large, because I look at him as the type, you know, even before he started the weight loss, that's a weight I would like to reach.
Hold that thought, because I have further down genes and family history as a later thought. So hold that thought. But continuing along this same question about snacks at the table, Chris, there's a phrase I've heard you use in the past that I would like you to talk about a little bit before I get to my third point, which is flat bellies are made in the kitchen, not in the gym.
Yes, the phrase is abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym, because everybody does have them, and they all look just like they look on the guys who do that for a living, who do nothing but work out and model their bodies for a living. Everybody has those. Every guy's got those. Even women got those. But the problem is they're covered by that layer of flab. And no matter how hard you work or how hard you work out, how intense you go at it, you cannot out-train a bad diet. And the sad part about all this is that the diet is the hardest part to overcome. Even someone like myself, you know, I do still have a layer of flab. I'm not chiseled in any sense of the word, because the diet is the hardest part. And I eat pretty healthy, but I still succumb to temptation. I still like to eat foods which I probably shouldn't eat, but it is. That's the toughest part. And the only way that I have found it that's really effective is that you've got to go at this slow. And that's why, you know, in a situation like this, and in a show, in the framework like this, my advice to any of this, and even dealing with what you're talking about, Chad, is you're going to start somewhere, so start small. And you certainly can try and willpower your way through it, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And if you can do it, kudos to you. But if you can't, then at least apply some degree of control to it. All right, Pat brings donuts. All right, and I really want that apple fritter that's right there. But you know what?
How did you know it was an apple fritter?
Because apple fritters are awesome. Apple fritters are amazingly delicious.
That was what broke me.
But all right. but what you do in that situation is then take half and then be satisfied with half of that donut and don't take anymore. And then walk away from there that evening saying, hey, you know what? I did not eat a whole thing. Good for me. I'm going to keep that up.
I think for me, one of the harsh realizations I had with that was simply the calorie comparison. And I realized there's more to good health than just counting calories, which is definitely something we should talk about at some point here on this episode. But I would do cardio workouts. And I haven't been working out lately, I'll admit. But there have been times in my life, even recent times, where I've gone very long periods of being very good about exercising. And when I was done, whatever estimate tool I was using would estimate, I mean, after a 30-minute intense workout, I mean, I'm talking running 30 minutes without a break. I'm talking doing push-ups and sit-ups. I know you're supposed to do crunches, but I do sit-ups and all that kind of stuff. And I would look at it, and it's like, I've probably burned about 300 calories. A single can of Coca-Cola, last I checked, has 140 calories in it. If you go to a gaming session and you drink just two cans of Coke, you have wiped out, in terms of calories, an entire 30-minute seriously aerobic exercise.
And don't forget that with that, you're probably going to have at least a piece of pizza, if not two, which can go anywhere to 500 to 700 calories per slice.
And so if you want to correct your weight, exercise is important. It has many incredibly beneficial aspects to it.
It's like when I started exercising, I can walk upstairs without getting out of breath. Well, now. I'm 33 years old. I got out of breath walking upstairs.
It strengthens your heart. It improves lung function. It increases good cholesterol, lowers bad cholesterol. It reduces your chance of developing a wide variety of cancers. Exercise is important, but the first key to losing weight is diet.
Now, it starts in the kitchen.
My third thought, and this is one that Wayne's been chomping at the bit to go
after. I really want to get into this because I have a... Basically, this is very important to me because I did it wrong.
Let me tell you a story and an anecdote. And
then we'll skip Wayne's point entirely. Yeah,
I want to go straight into
my story.
Then
we'll get back to my list of snacks. But go ahead.
Then I'll read a poem by Tennyson. All right. The anecdote is I have a guy that I work with by the name of Christian. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you how many times since I've known this guy. He's not a fat guy, but he's a chunky guy. He's out of shape. And he'll just get on this wild kick where one day he'll come into work, and mind you, the previous day we were eating at Hardee's, that's Carl's Jr. for those of you that live out west, and all of a sudden he walks in and he's like, I'm going to the gym, I'm going 3 hours a night, 6 days a week, I can eat nothing but white rice and chicken breasts and all this crap, and I'm like, Christian, it's not going to last. You have not made a sustainable change to your life. My story is there's a book out there And it's a great book. If you haven't read it, I recommend checking it out at some point. It's a book called Flowers for Algernon.
Oh, my God. That is a wonderful book.
And it's a book about a guy. It's a first-person journal kept by a guy who is mentally retarded. And he goes through an experiment that turns him into a super genius. But by the end of the book, I won't ruin the end of the book. But he...
It ain't happy.
It ain't. Yeah, it's not happy. It ain't... If you're looking for... Yeah, it's not a pick-me-up. But the point being, there is a statement made in the book, which is absolutely true of diet and exercise and everything else in your life, where the main character says at one point, the rate of a change is equal to the rate at which it will undo itself, or something to that effect. If you wake up one day and decide you are going to live your life 180 degrees in the opposite direction, and that occurred in one day, it's going to last 2 weeks, and then in one more day, you're right back where you were. You're eating Twinkies and sitting there watching Spike TV. And I cannot stress enough, and Wayne, I'll let you fire on this because you want to go on it, but if you are going to change your lifestyle, do it in slow, measured bits that are sustainable lifestyle changes. Don't wake up one day and decide you're going to be a different person, because guess what? It won't last.
So I will be the bad example here. I will, you know, I actually have the story of some of the pitfalls of this. So 2 years ago, my sister-in-law died in a car wreck. She was 17. And that struck me hard. It was one of those, this can happen at any point to anybody. You know, she was like a little sister to me. So I made the decision of, I am going to turn around my life. I am going to lose weight. And I was serious about it. And Chad was around for, he saw this. It was over the course of that year. I made a lot of mistakes in what I was trying to do. I started doing
too far.
I started doing calorie counting. I was counting everything I did. I was dropping down to about 800 calories a day.
Oh my gosh.
And I was including exercise that I wasn't doing before.
And I was falling over too.
I was riding my bike 10 miles a day on 800 calories a day. I had no energy. I would sleep through the weekends. I was exhausted. During the course of this time, I lost about 50 pounds in a couple months. And at the end of it, basically once I started cheating on the diet and once it kind of started collapsing, I put back on at least 35 or 40 of that. And now I'm going back and trying to do this slower. And it's frustrating because I saw how quickly I did it before. But I keep reminding myself how miserable I was.
Well, this is also part of where you need to consult a dietitian, because it's not as if the only thing food contains is calories.
Yeah.
It also contains vitamins, proteins, fibers.
And that's all I was doing was calories the first time.
You're not getting those essential nutrients and you're destroying yourself.
So I gained back at least 30 or 40 of that, and I've now lost back about 15 to 20 of it. But this time, I'm looking at it from the entire picture.
Yeah, and something that you told me, Wayne, that is one of those, I knew all these little pieces of information and one statement brought it all together. When I was trying to lose weight, I wasn't budgeting calories, but I was trying to maintain an awareness of the amount I was putting in me. And I was like, man, everything's 100 calories. All the snacks, it's at least 100 calories, adds up. And I'm looking at this apple. I told you, it's like, this apple is 100 calories. And you looked at me and you go, yeah, but it's a good 100 calories.
Yeah.
It's not like a Snickers bar, which is a bad 100 calories.
I love apples in particular because, like we mentioned earlier, fiber's a great thing. They have a lot of fiber in them. They can wake you up in the mornings, too. And that was one thing. So I mentioned my sister-in-law. She died in a car wreck. One of the wake-up calls for me when I was doing this wrong was every morning I would have a hard time getting up. The drive to work became difficult because I was dozing off at the wheel because I didn't have the nutrition I needed. I almost ran it up in the same place she did because I was trying to turn my life around. So I am the cautionary tale in doing this. It's very important to eat right and to try to do this, but you have to do it slow and you have to do it right. And when you start losing weight, it does feel good when you do it the right way and you don't feel so exhausted.
Yeah,
Chris, there's a statistic I've been given by a couple different people, and I want to run this past you to see if this sounds about right, that on a healthy diet, you should be losing about 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, that's roughly about right. If you look at it over the long term, you've got a lot of weight to lose. Losing 100 pounds over the course of a year, that's pretty darn good. Yeah, so 2 pounds a week on average, yeah, that's a good target to shoot for. And as good of a show as it is, don't let things like The Biggest Loser cue your perceptions of where you should be in relation to what these people are doing. The thing that I think people lose perspective on is people like that are on reality shows like The Biggest Loser, they're working out for like 6 hours a day. And that's all they're doing. They're not living lives like the rest of us. So if you do only average 2 pounds a week, don't be down about that. Or if you go a couple weeks where you don't lose anything, don't get down about that. I try to tell people to not get obsessed with the numbers, whether it's counting calories or whether it is, you know, how much they've lost on the scale. Because if you're working out and your weight doesn't change over the course of the week and you just feel like you've just beat yourself up this week, you may have lost weight, but you may have gained muscle mass. So you may have just traded something. That's all. But yet, net wise, you're still healthier than you were a week ago. Let me get through my list of snacks here, because there are some other good ones here that I think are good alternatives that you may not necessarily think, oh, that's actually a worthwhile snack. And I'll run through this here quickly, and then we can discuss if you want after that. Popcorn. Hot air popcorn specifically. Bag popcorn, not so much. But hot air popcorn, very good. Good for you. Eat as much as you want. You can even put a little bit of butter and salt on there. Veggies, of course, duh. If you like salsas, regular salsa, really, it's okay to have. If you're going to have it with chips, you can go for the baked chips. That's just fine. The salsa is really what you end up tasting. Fruit salsa, also a very good choice and tastes damn good, especially if you take tortilla chips, like a baked regular tortilla, sprinkle it with a little bit of cinnamon, a little cinnamon sugar, very good. We talked about apple slices. Chocolate bars, again, not necessarily bad, and I'm talking like regular Hershey's chocolate bars here, but you want to look for ones that have, you know, high cocoa count in them, you know, because you want to get the flavonoids and the antioxidants that are in the dark chocolate kind of things. But again, you don't have to eat the whole thing. Pace yourself as you're eating that. Surprisingly, pork rinds, actual pork rinds, are not bad for you. High in protein, good in unsaturated fat.
And I have to say, I found microwave pork rinds. They are like in a same kind of bag as bag popcorn.
So wrong. And,
oh, there's nothing is better than hot pork rinds. I love
you. You are right about that, my man.
Beef jerky, actually a very good snack to have at the gaming table. High
that
in protein.
That is one of our big gaming table snacks.
Yeah, watch out for the sodium and MSG, though. You got to kind of read the labels on that.
You got to be careful on that, because a lot of them are actually high in sugar
as
well.
Now, Chris, I know you're not a dietitian, but am I correct that you can offset... I'm not saying this is a free license, but to some degree, you can offset your sodium intake by water intake.
Yeah, if you have adequate, healthy water intake, then that can help alleviate some of that, yes. Fruit snacks are actually a decent snack to have. However, got to read the label on that. You want to make sure you find fruit snacks that do not have high fructose corn syrup in them. Graham crackers with peanut butter. And if you like cheese and cracker kind of things, I don't want to necessarily endorse a particular brand, but Triscuits, those types of crackers with cheese, is also a decent snack to have.
So, Chris, while you're talking about food, we had a conversation a little while back where I shared what my diet has been. You gave me a few suggestions. One of them is I was doing Nutri-Grain bars for breakfast, and your suggestion was to switch to oatmeal, which growing up, I always hated oatmeal, but I decided I would give it another try, and I have switched to oatmeal for breakfast. But I'm kind of curious why... I hear from everyone oatmeal is the perfect breakfast, and I hear so much good things about it. I'm kind of curious why it's so much better than something like a Nutri-Grain bar or...
Well, it comes down to the fiber in there. The oatmeal is high in dietary fiber, which takes a longer time to digest and thus helps you feel full longer. You can have a big old bowl of oatmeal and go a good 3 hours before you're really starting to feel the urge to eat again.
That explains a lot, because as soon as I switched over to it, I noticed this is a tiny amount of food that's filling me up more than, you know, much larger quantities that I was eating for breakfast.
Yep, and it's also high in protein. And if you hate oatmeal, I'll be honest, regular plain old oatmeal, it sucks ass. But if you're going to have it, mix in some cinnamon, not cinnamon sugar, but cinnamon. You can put in apples, raisins, and suddenly now you have, you know, apples and cinnamon oatmeal, which actually does taste good.
One last thought on sustainability before I want to move on to the next email, which is a warning about diet pills. I am not going to endorse or attack any particular diet pill. I'm going to attack the concept. Taking a pill to fix something without actually changing your diet or exercising or repairing your lifestyle, that doesn't fix anything. You take the diet pills, maybe they work. Some of them later turn out to kill you, but maybe it even works. You lose the weight, then what?
Well,
you're still eating the same crap. You're still not exercising. You're just using a pill to fix it. Don't go that route. Chris, what is the next question?
Next question. This one comes from Ardent Finder on the forums. He says, I know that many of us have a little extra weight, generally around the midsection. I have resumed my workout schedule to combat this, but what is the best series of exercises to reduce the flab? There's a lot that you can do. And this is where you got to do a little bit of your own research, and you also have to do some trial and error to find out what works for you. But you go on the internet, you'll find a bunch of people advocating that straight out cardio is the best way to do it. You'll find people that are advocating that interval exercising is the best way to do it. You'll find people advocating that weightlifting is the best way to do it. And all of these, of course, they all burn calories ultimately, but it really comes down to what you want to do.
Now, quick question. I know what cardio is. And I obviously know what weightlifting is. What is interval exercising?
Interval training, and I am a personal fan of interval training. Personal things that I like to do the best are weightlifting and interval training. Interval training basically is cardio, but it's cardio done in a certain way. It's where you do short bouts at an extremely high intensity. For example, if you were to put your intensity scale on a 1 to 10, that your intensity would be about at a 9. You'd be going at it to the point where you can't talk to anybody. I just got to just go and go as hard as I possibly can.
So instead of jogging 4 miles, you sprint 4 miles. With a lot of breaks in the middle, is that
basically, yeah. So you do short bouts of high intensity countered with a rest period at a low intensity. You don't stop, but you maybe go from a 9 down to maybe somewhere like a 3 or a 4.
So sprint, and walk, sprint, walk, sprint, walk. Okay.
Exactly. And so like to give a very, very quick interval thing that you could do if you like to run a treadmill, and I did this one for a while, is basically you do warm up for 2 minutes, just walk 2 minutes just to get your body in motion. And then you sprint for 30 seconds, rest for 30 seconds. Sprint for 45, rest for 45. Sprint 60, rest 60. Sprint 90, rest 90. Sprint 120, and then rest 120. And then go back down. So you go 90, 60, 30, 45, and then 30. Do that twice. That's about 34 minutes on the treadmill. And you'll certainly feel like you've really beat yourself up after that's over. And it does burn more calories than if you were to run for a straight 34 minutes.
So what is your advice to Mr. Finder?
My advice is, well, again, do what feels good. Interval training is one of those things to do. If you're going to go the weightlifting route, that can help you as well. If you lift to gain muscle, the way the theory goes is it takes more calories to maintain the muscle mass that you have. So if you add more muscle mass, you're going to, you know, subsequently burn more calories. If you're going to do that, though, you got to be very careful. Generally, to gain muscle mass, you want to do low repetitions with a high resistance, a high weight. But if you're just going to start out doing that, don't start out with that right away. If you haven't weightlifted since maybe like high school, you need to just do something very lighter before that. Maybe somewhere around 10 repetitions at a weight that is maybe 50% of what you think you can do one time.
Now, may I also propose, with common sense restrictions on this, the best exercise of all is the one you'll actually do.
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about. Find what works for you. Some people don't like weightlifting.
For example, in my case, I know I'm not going to change clothes, drive to a gym, be surrounded by people I don't like because I don't like people in general.
I can never do a gym.
Shower, come home, take 2 hours out of my night, but you know what? I will put the Wii Fit down for 20 or 30 minutes and do some push-ups and jogging and things like that.
So I want to bring this back to the gaming table and expand on that, Dan, because I'm kind of curious, Chris, what can you do
if you're actually at the table?
If you're taking a break from the table.
You're sitting there for six hours.
And same thing for like lunch at work. I would love to, while I go to lunch hour and breaks at work, do some sort of exercise, but I don't want to come back sweating and smelly
for everyone
around me.
And I don't want to get it down
to
just one of those
hand
squeezes.
And the same thing at the gaming table. I don't want to come back.
In those situations, whether it's the gaming table or whether it's your desk, really, you should get up about every 2 hours and just walk around. If you're DMing, I DM most of the time standing up. Just because it allows me to, A, take a little bit better command of the table, but I'm not sitting on my ass the entire time. And if you're a player, do the same thing. If you're going to get up and roll dice, if you have to roll dice, stand up to roll dice. Every time you want to roll dice, stand up to roll dice. During combat, you're getting up all the time. But then, you know, during the non-combat sessions, then you're at least going to be getting up probably every 10 to 15 minutes just even to stand, because then you're moving your body just a little bit. Same thing with work. Get up, walk around every couple of hours, take a lap around the office, just get away from your desk and move your body just a little bit to kind of refresh everything.
Actually, I'll tell you what I've been doing at work lately, because I think this might help you guys possibly.
Nothing.
I've actually been...
Shut up,
because I'm finally putting a word in edgewise in this
I noticed you've been very...
I have had questions and I have had points, but between the two of you over here going, okay, we've got to get back on track, we got to go do this, I'm like, okay,
Pat, back on track. What the hell's your point?
So what I've done actually is I've been just doing the stairs. I'll take about 20 minutes. Our building complex has 4 floors, So I go to the bottom floor and I walk all the way to the top floor. And then I walk the halls. I go to another stair. I do this, and I actually I've done this the four corridors of stairs, which equates to about 40 flights of stair walking.
So, Chris,
and I will tell you what, I used to walk about 30 minutes at work, a fast paced walk on level ground, and I wouldn't even break a sweat even doing it. But doing these 40 flights of stairs kicks your ass. I have never. At the end of the first fourth of it, my heart's pumping. I'm heavy breathing, and the nice thing is at the end of it, my heart rate's way up, and I'm a little sweaty, but not too bad. Mm. But I think it's been some pretty good exercise, and it's almost sort of like it's a mini interval thing, like you were talking about, Chris.
Exactly. You know what? And let me ask you, Pat. Just mentally, when you're done doing that, how do you feel?
Oh yeah, I feel a lot better, and I mean I'm already noticing after because I've been doing it now for about a month. I do it a couple days a week, but I've already noticed a bit of an increase in my endurance level, which I would expect to see, you know. So it's getting up to the top of those stairs. I don't feel as bad as when I first did. I remember when I first did, I thought I was going
to
die.
Well, and that's something I don't want to talk about too much because we could do a whole episode on it.
Well, I do have one question for Chris about the stairs thing. I have been told, and I've read online, I want to know from someone who's actually a personal trainer, may have some knowledge behind it. I've been told that you actually gain nothing going downstairs and you're only damaging your knees.
Actually,
so it's better for you to go up the stairs, take an elevator down, and then go back up.
That's exactly what I do.
Because you're getting better exercise and you're not doing as much, as much strain on your knees.
I walk to the top floor and I get on the elevator and I go to the bottom floor. Or in my case, what I sort of do is my building complex is such that we have hallways between buildings. So I might go all the way up to the top floor. I might take one stair down to the third level, and now I've got a hallway that I can walk for, an eighth of a mile to the next set of stairs. So it's a little, but I definitely do that because you're absolutely right. It's hard on your knees, you know, especially if you weigh more, you're putting a lot of stress on your legs and your knees, especially, and it does nothing for you. It's not doing anything for you, but hurting you. And I can say that not even being trained in anything like that.
Two quick things. And then I want to move on to the next question. Number one is something that was hit on in the middle of that briefly by Chris that I think bears mentioning, though I don't think we have time to explore it, is the impact that exercise will have on your mental health, your confidence. It helps depression. It helps anxiety. But Chris, is what he's saying accurate about going downstairs?
I haven't honestly seen any honest research that would say that it damages these muscles or it puts additional stress on these joints. But I mean, I can see the argument, and in hearing Pat's anecdotal stuff about that, I can see that. What I would say is that if you're going to do something similar to what Pat described, because I do always recommend taking the stairs versus the elevator, you know, unless you've got to get up to the 75th floor or something, but try it. If you do it and it does seem to cause you pain and cause you discomfort, then yeah, stop doing it. Take the elevator and then just get your exercise going up the stairs instead. Getting back to the whole thing about just you moving around a little bit, in general, you know, the recommendations are if you can get at least 30 minutes of activity a day, and that can be broken up into 3 10-minute segments, that's a minimum level of activity that you should have as a human being if you need a goal to shoot for. Speaking of that, if you're going to be walking, if you can afford to get yourself a pedometer, and there are some pretty inexpensive ones out there, pedometers have an interesting psychological effect because, especially if you like to count, if you put that on your belt and you walk and you see how many steps you've walked during the day, you get this little mental trigger to try and make you want to beat your number every time you wear this. One last thing just about the abdominal fat, that is the most difficult part to lose. We always talk about those last 10 pounds. The abdominal fat, it's always the last to go. And part of the reason why that is because you have what's called visceral fat, which is the fat that has gathered around your internal organs. As you slowly get rid of the fat that's around you, that visceral fat starts coming out to take its place. So it almost seems like it doesn't go anywhere. That's why that takes so long to go. So in other words, don't give up when it comes to that kind
of
stuff.
So the advice is don't get discouraged. Just keep working through it. It'll go eventually.
Exactly. Don't get discouraged. And that was the reason why I asked Pat about that, is because in just 4 weeks, he's already improved his endurance, you know, and his cardiovascular fitness by doing what he's done. It's only taken 4 weeks. And his food may or may not have changed, but he still has gained some health benefits by doing something.
Yep. And let me just say that you can do it. Don't get discouraged by saying, I don't want to change my diet. I don't want to do this. Listen, I'm 33 years old. I lead a sedentary life. I have a sedentary job. I'm an IT guy. I sit behind a computer all day. I have sedentary hobbies. My four main hobbies is I game, I play video games, I read, and I watch movies. None of those are physical activities. But in the past year, I've been able to change my diet, and that's been the big thing. I've been able to cut really unhealthy food out of my diet, and recently I've begun exercising. I've gone from 260 pounds to 227. I just did my weigh-in last night, and I actually had to text Dan, like, oh my God, I lost 7 pounds, and I am down to that. It can be done. In fact, I used to be, like a couple years ago, I was 280. 280 was my heaviest, and I'm 6'3", so 280 was my heaviest, and I got that all the way down to 220. When I started losing weight again, I never thought I'd be able to break 230, and I was actually able to do it last night. So I am on my way to 220, and I'm not doing anything superhuman here. I'm just eating less. That was the main thing. I'm trying to eat right, but I'm eating less. Dan, you should tell Texas advice for eating.
I will give a quick side story about Texas because it's funny, and then I want to move on to the next question. I think this is important information, so I want to get this out here, but there's, I think, more than I originally thought for us to talk about.
Well, you know what, though? But that's a good thing, because honestly, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, we're getting close to the hour mark here and all that, and, well, to me, this is a topic that I think is worth revisiting, because I think the discussion that's going to come from this should elicit another type of show, maybe to just to talk a little bit more and maybe answer some other questions that may arise out of
this.
Well,
also, I think, while some people may be bored by this topic or whatever, I hope you're not, because the best gaming advice we can give you is how to be there for the next game.
When I was going into this, answering some of these questions and writing down some of the stuff for around the gaming table, I thought to myself, you know, people are going to end up mocking me and maybe mocking some of the things I end up saying, you know, like standing up every time you have to roll some dice. But you know what, though? If you're sitting around your table after you've listened to this podcast and somebody points out there, say, hey, remember what Chris said on Fear the Boot? You got to stand up when you roll those. If that person actually takes that moment to say, you know what, I'm going to do that, and then does that, that person then now has set an example for everyone else around the table, and go ahead and imitate
and
that
guy.
And
here's the thing that you can rest easy knowing. At 80, you can go to Fatbeard's grave and tell him to kiss your ass.
That's right.
So, as I just said, it looks like we've got a lot more information than I thought we did we need to talk about. I think this is important enough that we are going to continue this in episode 181, and I hope you will tune back in and take this seriously, because even if you're in my situation where you're a skinny guy, this stuff still affects your health. But let me close this episode out with a funny Tex anecdote that I'm going to have to bleep part of. When Tex moved from Germany back to America, he stayed, I think, for a short while in North Carolina and then moved to Seattle, where, of course, he is now. And this was right after 9/11. In fact, he literally was one of the last cars out or something like that before they shut down all the transportation networks and such. And when he got to Seattle, because it was the post 9/11 job market, there were simply no jobs to be had. So Tex, who at the time was a pretty overweight guy, I don't know his weight in pounds, but he was a heavy guy, okay? I'll just leave it at that. He decided to join Weight Watchers. And he did exactly what we're talking about. He reduced his portions. He didn't stop eating junk food, but he ate less of it. He started making smart, sustainable choices. He went out walking. Walking became jogging. Jogging became running. Whatever. He did things he enjoyed.
Running became supersonic.
Yes. Running became flight. And but by the end of this, he's jobless, unemployed, couldn't get a job for a very long time. So he ends up in some support group for Weight Watchers, where it's him, this one young guy, and tons of very overweight, middle-aged women. And through this long period of time he was in there, they'd be doing okay, and then they'd break down and eat a pie or whatever. And none of them were losing any weight. Well, by the end of this year, he had dropped an enormous amount of weight. If you see this man today, this guy is literally about as skinny as I am. Once again, I'm 6 foot 270 pounds. I don't know his weight, but he appears as skinny as I am. Several of these women started asking him, his real name's Mike, and several of them started asking him, Mike, what's your secret? You know, we haven't lost a single pound. How did you do it? What's your trick? And he says, you see this? This is me not putting shit in my mouth. Now, let me do it again for those of you in the back. This right here, this is me not putting shit in my mouth.
And you know what? I've adopted that philosophy. I really have. I see food that tempts me after I heard that story, and I'm like, I look at the food, I'm like, I really want to eat that. But you know what? This is me not putting shit in my mouth.
Look, eating fatty food is absolutely no different than anything else that occurs in a day. It is the choice. Make the right one. We have a bunch more questions we're going to get back to. So we will come back to that in episode 181. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you understand the importance of this before it is too late. And we will catch you next time.
Later days.
I want an apple fritter.
Have half.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2010. Listeners are free to use the show in a non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.